When you're studying in the book of Galatians, there are simply six little chapters in this letter which Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. Now, in the first two chapters of this book, they are very personal in nature. And of course, they deal with Paul's authority and how important that is for the preacher to have authority in the work of God and seek to lead that work for the glory and the honor of the Savior's name. There were those that sought to lead the people astray in burdening them with circumcision and saying that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And of course, God's servant had to have with authority to preach the word. When you come to chapters 3 and 4, we find that they are doctrinal in nature. And they deal with justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. And then you come to chapters 5 and 6, and we would say that they are practical. They are practical in nature. And they deal with the application of the doctrine of justification in the lives and hearts of God's people. But of course, this is a harvest service, and I want to deal with a subject that we find in chapter number 6. And we find there from the verse number 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, I don't know how many have got a farming background. I certainly was reared on the farm. And I know that farming's not getting any easier. Farming in this community, we will find that indeed farmers are finding it hard in their occupation. And certainly a small farm that used to look after a family and maybe even look after two and maybe even three families in days that are old certainly couldn't do it today. But you know, farmers realize that just like the spiritual harvest, thank God it can be well worth it. It can be worth it all. It says in verse number 9 here, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not." And thank God you have to have a good, strong heart to be farming today. But praise God, in the spiritual harvest, we're not to grow weary in well-doing, but thank God it shall be worth it all. No matter what we have to face, thank God it's worth it when we're sowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the problem with sowing and reaping is the results are not immediately seen. We have to wait for the harvest to come. And you know, we live in a day when just everything just is instantaneous. Press a button and you want it there immediately. We can't wait any longer. We just have to have it now. This is not only the throwaway society, but it's a society that expects that everything comes immediately, that there's no longer waiting. But you know that in the sowing of the seed, there is the waiting for the harvest. That's why the Spirit of God says we're not to be weary in well-doing. In other words, we're not to faint. We're not to quit. And sometimes when you do not see the harvest coming in as easily and as quickly as you'd want it to come in, people can get discouraged. Many of God's people get discouraged. My, how many times have you sown the seed and maybe handed out gospel tracts, gospel invitations to invite people to come and to fill up the seats, and somehow people don't want to know or hear. And you know, the old devil says, you know, it's useless. There's no use you doing it. So just sit back, and if they want to come in, let them come in, and if they don't want to come in, let them go to hell. My dear friends, that's not the work for God's people, the way to do it. The Bible says, let us not be weary or faint or quit in well-doing, but we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Keep on going, brother. Keep on sowing the seed. The hymnwriter said, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the morning, bright and fair, keep sowing the seed. But of course, the results are not immediately, they're not immediately seen. It's not like mowing the lawn. You could mow the lawn and then you look behind you and you see the results immediately. Because you can see that the grass has been cut. Not so in sowing the seed of the gospel. Or not sowing the seed even in the natural sphere. And it takes time. It takes labor. And then reaping comes much later. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his, not his seed with him, bringing his sheaves with him. Thank God, the reaping. The reaping. So God help you to keep on, brother and sisters, down here in this great city of Londonderry. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing the seed. Keep on being faithful to the Lord. Just keep on going on. Don't let the devil discourage you. But praise God. God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Occupy. Keep working until he come. But the law of the harvest is here in verse number 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want you to notice, first of all, there's an earnest proclamation here. It says, first of all, be not deceived. This is a message from God, friend. Be not deceived. And then the second part of the proclamation is this. God is not mocked. Now I want us to look at that. That earnest proclamation here. And first of all, it says, be not deceived. The word there is to cause to stray or to lead astray or wander off the path. Now, why is that given? Why is that proclamation and that exhortation given? Be not deceived, friend. But the truth is this, it's possible to be deceived. That's why it says, be not deceived. Because it's very possible for men and women to be deceived. We find as we study God's precious word, we can be deceived by the devil. He's the master deceiver himself. Way back in the book of Genesis in the chapter 3, remember the serpent came and spoke to Eve in the garden. God already said to Adam, he said, Adam, of all of these trees thou may eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Of course, the old serpent came. And he didn't come right away into Eve's presence and say, take it. Come on, take it. No, no. He's more subtle than that. More subtle than any beast of the field. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of the book of Genesis that the serpent said unto the woman, did God really say that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, my friend, what God said was, listen, God says, listen, of every tree bar that one. God says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. But my, the old devil says, are you sure God has said, ye shall not eat of every tree? He didn't point to the one tree, but he tried to undermine God, friend, and the goodness of God. And the old serpent put a question mark over the word of God. That's what the devil's doing today. The devil's deceiving men and women by putting a question mark over the word of God. You know, people are going away from this book. And many of God's people are trying to excuse living their lives not in accordance with God's precious word. They're trying to push the boundaries as far as they can to get away from taking a stand for God, doing for that which is right in the sight of God. The old serpent came and he appealed to Eve's senses and her flesh. Sad to say, she gave in. The old devil said or saw that he had got a ready listener. Then he came in with a punchline. Ye shall not surely die. See, he's subtle how he does it. Doesn't come in with a full blast right away. Subtlety. And then he comes in and he says, thou shalt not surely die. In other words, listen, Eve. You take a look at that fruit. And she looked. And it was pleasant to the eye. It was something to be desired. And then she reached out her hand. She took it and she gave to Adam. See, friend, we can be deceived by the devil because the devil's in the business of deception. What did the Lord Jesus Christ call the devil in John chapter 8 and verse 44? He called him a liar and a murderer. And my dear friends, the devil's a liar and he wants to destroy men and women. He's only one desire for the sinner, and that's to damn their soul in a lost eternity in the hell that he will be forever in. And he wants to take the sinner to hell too. But of course he doesn't come to tell you that. He paints a different picture. The pleasures of sin. But he doesn't tell you. They're only for a season. Yes, be not deceived, the word of God says, because we can be deceived by Satan. Sad to say, there are agents that the devil has in this old world. We can be deceived by false teachers. Turn to the book of Galatians in the chapter number 3. Verse number 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? False teachers deceiving. You see, the Judaizers came in among these Galatians that had trusted the Lord. And they said, listen, what you must have circumcision. If you're really going to be in the family of God, and God's going to recognize you as one of his children. And he was bringing them, the devil, through his false teachers, were bringing these people into bondage, into legalism. Sad to say, the devil's doing that today through false teaching. Yes, it's easy to warn people about the cults. There's something more subtle today. What we're finding today is this, that there are those that are now coming out and there's a prosperity message that's going to the people. And my, they're drawing multitudes, many who were good people and even godly people have been swept away with us. And they're bringing them in. Friend, they're deluding them. Taking away from the old paths. A false message. Of course, in the last days, we're not as surprised at that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And friend, that's the summary of today. It's me first. Self. It's not God that's dictating the terms as far as many are concerned today. It's what I want. Nobody has the right to tell me. I can do whatever I want, for I'm the master. Isn't that what the devil said to Eve? You take of that fruit, and you become your own God. You'll become your own God. In other words, you'll be the master of your life. And God Almighty can't dictate to you then, because you'll become like him. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And sad to say, in these last days, there is a spirit of deception that's around. Many good people have fallen to the devil's deceptions. Do you know why, friend? Because it's so like the truth. It's so like it. It's so near to it. But there the devil brings a deception, a falsehood in the midst of it. I don't care how many good ingredients you have, friend, in a cake. If there's a pinch of poison in it, it kills. It destroys. And all the devil has to do is you put some little seeds of poison amidst the rest of the good. And it looks like it. Deception. You say, how does it happen? Turn to the book of Jude. That little epistle of Jude is what the Word of God says. Verse number 4. Or verse 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For. This is why you've got to contend. This is why you've got to stand forth for the Word of God. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Creepers. Oh, they just don't walk through the front door, announcing their falsehood, announcing their false teaching. No, no, they creep in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Deception. Do you know one of the deceptions of the devil today is this? All you've got to do is just sign a little declaration, a little profession card. Or even just say a little prayer. Tell God you're sorry for your sin. And then after that, you can go out and live like the devil. And you'll get into heaven. Big problem. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a deception. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, except ye repent, ye perish. And repentance is not simply saying, God, I'm sorry for my sin, but my friend, so sorry for your sin, by the grace and power of God, you turn from your sin. You don't carry on it. You turn from it. And you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope and only Savior. And praise God, He is the Savior. the only one. For no man cometh unto the Father but by him. A little decision card, my friend, if there's no repentance, will never take you through the gates of heaven, but will surely drop you into hell itself. Deception. You've got to repent and accept you. This is what Jesus said. Accept ye, repent. Ye shall all likewise perish. And that brings me to the third deception. There's a deception of the devil himself. There's a deception through the devil's agents. False teachers. But there's another sad deception. It's deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. 1 John chapter 1. It tells us there in 1 John chapter 1. In the verse number 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This is self-deception. And this is a sad reality that men and women are saying, but you know, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Go and tell it to the drunkard. Go and tell it to the whoremonger. Go and tell it to the murderer. Go and tell it to the one that's down in the gutter. But don't tell me. I'm religious. So was Cain. Cain came with his offering to God. Cain was religious. But Cain's in hell tonight. He brought the works of his hands. God demanded that the blood would be shed. And God demanded that they'd bring an offering acceptable unto God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And you and I, friend, have got to be honest with ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, verse number 10, we're calling God a liar. Why? Because God says we have. And his word is not in us. I'm not a sinner. Deceiving ourselves. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Self-deception. What does God say? God says, be not deceived. There we have an earnest proclamation, friend, from God. God's word. And then it says this, God is not mocked. That's the second part of the proclamation. God is not mocked. And the word there literally means mocked. To turn up the nose. To turn up the nose. In other words, it's scorning, it's sneering, it's ridiculing, it's deriding, or treating with contempt what God has to say. You know, people are turning their nose up at God's way. And they're laughing at what God has to say. You know what God says? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Doesn't matter who you are. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. People turn their nose up at that and say, no, no. But I have another way. What does Proverbs 14:12 say? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. You see, friend, as far as this old world's concerned, you and I are only here for a wee while. And then God's going to take us away. And we come to the end of life's journey. But what happens at the end? It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, it's not over. How many times as a gospel preacher I've stood at the side of an open grave and preached God's precious word to souls of men and women, and they've walked away and I've heard them say, well, that's the end of him. That's the end of Jimmy. Friend, there's nothing further from the truth. Eternity. After this. One day you'll meet God. You come to the end of the journey. Remember, God says, this night thy soul shall be required. Who requires it? God's the master of it all. You can turn your nose up to what God has to say, and you can turn your back and walk away, and God says, I have called, and ye have refused. I stretched out my hand, but you didn't regard it. Yes, you can turn up your nose if you will. But remember these words. God is not mocked. You answer to God for it. And if you want your way, sinner, now the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, God give them up. Now, God give them over. Say, you want your sin? There it is. Take it. You want your way? Have it. But remember this. You're meeting me. You're meeting the Lord Jesus at the judgment throne. And the books are opened. Interesting statement there. God is not mocked. But Proverbs 1 and verse 26 says, then shall I, this is God speaking, then shall I laugh at your calamity. And God says, then shall I mock when your fear comes. You see, friend, God has the last laugh. And as the sinner goes down into the depths of hell, into the darkness of the damned, to hear the laughter of a righteous and a holy God whose law has been fulfilled and honored by the judgment of the sinner. And God says, I'll mock when your fear comes. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Time's away, but let's look at the established principle as we close. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow wheat, seed, you'll reap a wheat harvest. Sow a corn seed, you reap a corn harvest. Friend, it's pure and simple logic. You reap what you sow. And the Word of God says here in Galatians, sow to the flesh. Yes, you can sow a lifetime of sin. Yes, you can. And you can defy the God of heaven and everything that God has got to say. And you can do like Eve, reach out and take that fruit. And Adam likewise, and disobedience against Almighty God. And God says, the day thou withest her off, thou shalt surely die. And that day, my friend, yes, that day, Adam was driven out of the garden. Spiritually he died, for God said it. God drove him from the garden. And sin, friend, you can sow to the flesh. Yes, you can. But just remember the law of the harvest. Reaping. Corruption. After the sowing of sin is all done, what shall the reaping be? Remember this, friends. Actions have consequences. Listen to me carefully. You can choose and you can make your choice. You may have power to make your choice about your actions. But you haven't the power to choose the consequences. It's God that settled that. What's the consequences? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's not only physical death. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But that's spiritual death. Cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Listen to me carefully. Read that book, friend, from cover to cover. Baby was taken, and he cried with a broken heart. His son became a murderer. His daughter's virtue was destroyed. And his beloved Absalom was left hanging in a tree. And he cried with a broken heart. David, did sin pay? Yes, it did. It reaped a sad harvest. And so it will. With this I close. God's word said, be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he'll reap. And one day, the books will open. And the record, sinner, of your life will be read. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin.
Will you come to him tonight?
You say, how do I come? Hymn writer said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. If there's one in this gathering, I'm going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And friend, if there's one in this gathering tonight and God has spoken to your heart and God has brought you face to face the reality of your sin, I beg you in God's name, don't go on. Don't deceive yourself. You're not going to get away with it. You'll never turn your nose up to God's word, friend, and turn your back on God and prosper. Because God will bring you to account. Get your sin dealt with tonight. Come with a repentant heart.